Nearly home. Isn't home where we all want to be? Reba here for Realtor.com, the pros' number one most trusted app. Finding a home is like dating. You're not just looking for a place to live. You're searching for the one. That's where Realtor.com comes in. Like any good matchmaker, they know exactly where to look. With over 500,000 new real listings straight from the pros every month, you could find your perfect match today. Ranch style with a pool, barn dominium with an in-law suite, Realtor.com's got them. Modern craftsman with a big yard and a treehouse out back, Realtor.com will have you saying, yep, that's the one. No more swiping. It's time to start finding. Download the Realtor.com app today, cause you're nearly home. Make it real with Realtor.com.
Pros number one most trusted app based on August 2025 proprietary survey. Over 500,000 new listings every month based on average new for sale and rental listings, July 2024 to June 2025.
Welcome to the land of imagination, where dinosaurs run the hospital, the Block Center doubles as Target, and suddenly everyone's a mermaid firefighter with an attitude problem. In this episode, we unpack the wild, wonderful world of pretend play, when it's adorable, when it's educational, and when it's slightly concerning. I'm your host, Courtney, with my other host, Erin.
Hello.
So I want to start out with the power of pretend play and why imagination is vital for emotional and cognitive development. Before we get into the wild and weird.
Well, you know, one of the biggest benefits that I don't think a lot of teachers, parents, you know, we often forget with pretend play, there's so many major benefits to it. One of those benefits being problem solving.
Yeah.
You know, kids are able to put themselves in, yes, the most random situations, but they're able to problem solve and work through those.
Yeah.
But the downfall of today's kids is, what's the number one downfall? The lack of imagination play? Technology.
The iPad.
Now, I don't harp. My son has a tablet. Yes, sometimes I use it when I want 5 minutes to myself. But I still encourage that imagination play. And I always did in the classroom and even outside of the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were pretend play. Well, this is going to be a fun edit for you. So being able to have the kids put themselves into these most unique situations, it actually increases their ability to solve problems and also enhance their communication styles, because we all know that there are different ways to communicate and how to communicate.
Yeah.
It can also help with emotional regulation. There is so many benefits, but with the amount of technology that is available to these kids, it's actually a hindrance because there's nothing's pretend anymore.
Right.
One of the biggest things that I've seen is my older sister is watching my son. She even told me one day, she said, comparative out of the three kids, so she has two kids and I have the one right now. She said that my son's imagination is like out of this world.
Yeah.
One of his favorite things to do is to play surgeon or to play doctor.
Oh.
And so you have to like go up to him and you're like, oh, doctor, my leg is hurt. And he'll sit there and he goes, okay, patient, come here. And he'll have you sit down and he looks at you and he goes, okay, where's the boo-boo? And I will like point to my leg and he goes, okay, hold on, wait there. And then all of a sudden you see him grabbing like his chainsaw. It is plastic, his chainsaw, his toolkit. So his hammers and his screwdrivers. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is it about to happen? And he'll come over and he's like chainsawing my leg and screwdrivering it and hammering it. And he goes, okay, you're all better. Like, while yes, he's never had a doctor set, he is able to, sorry for that brief interruption. I mentioned the word doctor and out pops my son who was supposed to be in bed. And he goes, oh, I like playing doctor. Okay, go to bed. So it provides So many benefits. Courtney, what do you think the biggest benefit is to pretend play and imagination?
I'd have to agree that it's problem solving and communication. I've seen my kids, they will be upset with each other, but then they start pretend play, and it's like they work it out through their pretend play.
Yes. It's really interesting to see if you sit back and watch students play, especially the ones that are very heavily involved with pretend play, a lot of problems get solved.
Yeah, problems you didn't realize that they were having.
Unless it's a group of girls and then you know exactly what's happening and you get all the tea, which tea on the playground is awesome. No, it's definitely. But again, I think when kids have so much access to a tablet, to the internet, to whatever it is, even TV, it's going to actually, I think, take away that imagination. Because then it's like, you take your child to Disney World at a young age, those characters aren't real. That imagination is gone. Which I know I'm gonna hop back up on my soapbox because I think I say it about every episode. Let kids be kids. At the end of the day, let kids be kids. Sit back, even when you're out at recess, sit back, watch, actually, watch, not just pay attention, really look and listen. Because, we sit and we laugh when we see kids like, dancing around, playing pretend, playing animals. But look at the dynamics of it, especially with the little girls who are obsessed with horses and want to play horses. They come up with these obscure problems, oh, they're trying to jump over the river. How are they going to do that? But when you really look and watch them, they are learning how to work through those, learning how to work through those frustrations. Because if kids don't learn how to work through frustrations at a younger age, guess what? They're going to be angry adults. Emotional regulation.
Yeah, that's a big one with pretend play too. I've seen kids, like you said, they're pretending to be animals and they're trying to figure out how to be an animal and do something at the same time because they kids will commit to the bit. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, they will. It's
If they
so
are a
funny.
cat, they are staying on all fours.
Oh yeah. I like the horses though because they like put paws up in the air and they gallop. I'm like,
Fancy.
those are fancy horses. I mean, but that emotional regulation part is vital to developing manageable adults. They're not going to get mad at the littlest things. Again, let your kids be kids. Encourage imagination play, encourage pretend play. Because even the boys, yes, as much as we hate the boys going around playing Army Man and shooting each other, yes, I know the whole thing about guns and stuff. But there's also that boys are more likely to develop those anger issues, develop unhealthy emotional regulations. So when they're playing cops and robbers, when they're playing, not the more quote unquote boy things, they're really learning how to work together, which again, for men to be able to work together in a normal society, you're not going to have that toxic male energy where it's like, oh, I'm better. Because when they're kids, they're learning how to, especially the boys, talk it through, create a plan, because they get into it.
They really do.
Like they'll sit there and they plan it all out.
Yeah, they have an attack strategy and
They do. And half the time, they're not even pretending to shoot at each other. They're shooting at the air or the aliens or the monsters, whatever it
pretend
might
bad
be.
guys.
The pretend bad guys. And I know that's a sensitive topic. I understand that. But I also look at it from, okay, what are the bigger benefits? Like, are we pretending to shoot each other? Okay, now that's where, let's redirect it. Can we find some aliens? Can we find some monsters? Can we, okay, and to encourage that pretend play, hey, instead of using a weapon, What else can we do to get the monsters? What else can we do to get the bad guys?
Yeah.
It's going to encourage it and increase it. Even though my favorite is when the little boys are running around like little karate people, like, yeah, but that quickly turns into they start to try and fight each other because they both think they're Jackie Chan, but.
Yes. And there can only be one Jackie Chan.
Yes. And there will only ever be one Jackie Chan. So sorry, little Timmy, that ain't you.
Speaking of there only being one Jackie Chan and stuff, have you ever had to break up a fight with pretend play and be like, listen, there's more than one Spider-Man. We could all be Spider-Man. Always. It's fine. Like, it's so funny when one of them decides they're Spider-Man and the other one's like, no, I'm Spider-Man. And there's a full out brawl over who gets to be Spider-Man. I'm like, guys, there's a whole movie about how there's multiple Spider-Men, so we could all do it. I'm Spider-Man, you're Spider-Man, it's all good.
Well, see, I'm a lot more cutthroat and I'm like, then none of y'all can be Spider-Man. Go find something different.
Oh, yeah. Or if they continue. Yeah.
Or I pull out the, no, I'm the real Spider-Man. So go and play. Find something else.
Yeah. I'm Sonic the Hedgehog.
Spider-Man's big Batman.
Yeah.
I think, but then the opposite, you have the little girls who play house.
And everybody wants to be the mommy.
And everybody wants to be the mommy. But when one of the little girls, you know, and I've seen it on the playground, you know, you have the mommy and the daddy and they're arguing over like dishes. And I'm like, well, y'all are five. Like, what? Well, yeah, but that's what mommies and daddies do.
They shouldn't.
They shouldn't. Like, let's be real here.
There was one game that was going around. I think I've talked about this before, but they called the Play Dead game.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and we had to message parents because, you know, you think they're playing quietly and they're just being sweet and loving and nurturing to these friends that are on the ground, and then you're running over checking pulses and making sure... making sure the kids are alive because they're playing dead and they're refusing to answer to anybody.
Yep.
That's when they really get into it.
Oh, no, but there's stuff like that where, you know, the play dead, it's okay. It's funny. Not going to lie. Like,
yeah,
that's a good way to get the quiet game going. Like, but what do you think the hardest thing, you know, besides technology? So really focusing in on the classroom, because obviously, especially in the youngers, there's no tablets accessible. There's no Chromebooks. There's anything. So what do you think the biggest struggle within a classroom when it comes to pretend play?
I think it's the power dynamic sometimes. Because there's always that one kid that wants to be the boss and tell everybody how to do pretend play.
Yes, that's always fun.
And it's like, that's not how pretend play works. And if they go off their little script that they have in their head, all hell breaks loose.
Oh, the one who tries to control it. Yes, that's always. Have you ever had to encourage pretend play because kids don't know how to do it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We had a kid who didn't. His idea of pretend play was tackling somebody to the ground.
Oh.
So we had to basically model pretend play and be with him, like at least start it with him and then slowly back away when his friends were like more engaged in it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's hard to really and like teach it with those kids because they're not used to it.
Yeah.
So what would you say your number one advice to maybe new teachers or even see like the new teachers, because I know seasoned teachers are a good seasoned teacher can be spot on. Yeah. But like even with the new teachers who are struggling how to encourage and show that model, that pretend play, how do you suggest doing that?
Just get into it. If they decide that you're the scary monster chasing them, be the scary monster that chases them.
Get into it.
Really play with them. If they decide that they're going to Target and you need to be the cashier, you're the cashier Target. The Target cashier, I mean. But, like, just do it. Pretend you're a kid again.
Which is fun.
Yeah, so much fun.
Like, I loved it.
That's one thing I do miss about my job, about teaching, is pretending to be a kid every day.
I mean, you kind of can.
True.
I mean, who's to stop you from being like, you know what?
I'm going to be a crab and walk around.
True.
Because when I worked kindergarten, we had to stand in between the girls' bathroom and the boys' bathroom to make sure, you know, nobody was playing. I had one kid come out and he goes, you know what? I'm a crab. And he proceeded to, not the all fours crab walk, no, like the wide squat, arms up in the air with his, and he's like walking down the hall and he's like, do you want to be a crab with me? And I'm like, yeah.
Absolutely.
So, like, meanwhile, I'm like walking down the hall with the crab. Meanwhile, my principal is giving like a tour with like the super important people of the school and sees us just like being crabs. And
if I'm a super important person, like for a school, that's what I want to see. I want to see the teachers having fun and engaging with the kids like that.
Yes. Doing stuff like that is always fun. And seeing kids really tap into it. And I know I talk about my son a lot, but I try to really look at my teaching experience and put it onto him. And I saw it this past weekend when we went to the zoo and he wanted to be a monkey. So by golly, he was going around acting like a monkey. And even that, like when you go on field trips, when you go, especially when you go on field trips, that is such a great way to tap into that pretend play. Yeah. Whether you're going to a science museum and you're in like the dinosaur section, have the kids pretend to be their favorite dino for a couple minutes, or, you know, y'all go to the zoo, have them act out the animals. Like when you're walking to the next one, tapping into those little ways, you're going to see kids become kids again.
Yeah.
But I think a lot, it is, but I think a lot of it happens at home.
Yeah. It's got to start at home.
There was one kid, very, very smart. Like this kid was in kindergarten, but could read on like a fifth grade level. Smart.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. His mom was a infectious disease person. So all she worked with was infectious diseases.
Oh, wow.
And his dad was like a surgeon of some sort. So both very, very smart.
Mm-hmm.
This kid did not know how to pretend play at all. Not one lick of it. He had trouble playing with other kids.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and we asked him one day, hey, what do you do when you get home? Well, mom and dad, we play this game and we get little math worksheets and we do math. We read. And finally, we asked him, we said, well, what TV shows do you like to watch? We don't have a TV. So there, I get it. We want our kids to excel. We want, and even as teachers, we want them to excel. But there needs to be that healthy balance of, again, let kids be kids.
Yes.
I get on that soapbox like every single time.
That's going to be our tagline.
It is. Let kids be kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I know my son, and I, like I always say, I pray for his teachers next year, because when he gets into that pretend play imagination, everybody is involved. It's not just him. We are all involved.
Yeah.
We're all going to do it. I had a birthday party for him earlier this year, and some of my friends came in from out of state, and he was having them all involved with the pretend play. It's a no joke in my house. I mean, but the downfall with pretend play is when you have kids like my son and you're in places that you're not supposed to really get involved with pretend play. Like, for example, I was in Trader Joe's, okay, with my mom. We were visiting grandma. We went to Trader Joe's because, I mean, Trader Joe's. My son at the time was really into becoming a werewolf. And when I say it's not like just like a he's happy and then all of a sudden it's a rawr. No, he like grabs his face and starts like twitching and like you all of a sudden like see it happen. And then his arms come up and he's rawr. And we had to have the discussion because I saw him start to like do his like twitchy thing. And I'm like, no. I was like, do you see that sign that says no werewolves in Trader Joe's? And he's still doing it. And you see him start to like, rawr, and then all of a sudden he like shakes his head and he's like,
There you are. Well, I didn't go anywhere. Like, I'm right here.
So, yes, I encourage it. I pray for my son's teachers next year. I pray the werewolf phase is over. Because I know I'm going to get a call about it. And my best response is going to be, there is not a whole lot of negative side effects. I mean, obviously, as a werewolf, we're going to work on that one. But we're learning how to problem solve and emotional regulate. So
important.
Important.
Yeah. So, like you were saying earlier with the kids fighting over dishes, pretending to be mommy and daddy, have you ever had a situation where you're like, maybe we should talk to the parents about what they're hearing or seeing at home?
Yes. Raining, indoor recess, kindergarten. I had a little boy playing by himself. He was in his own little world. He wasn't really playing with the toy. He was just pretend playing. Cool. Sometimes I like to do stuff, crafts by myself, so I get it. But not when he started moaning. And at first, it's one of those moments where you go, huh, did that really happen? Yeah, and it was not like a, no, quite the opposite type of moan. Yeah, come to find out, you know, we had to bring it up to the parents because it was beginning to be an issue because all the other kids heard. And well, that is not one thing we need kids to go around and repeat.
No.
Well, mom and dad forgot to lock the door and well.
Yikes.
Yeah. It happens. Like, it happens more than parents do get really embarrassed by it. And I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But it happens more than you think.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
And as teachers and educators, we're not judging you. We're honestly probably as soon as everyone goes home, we're gonna laugh.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, we're not like, oh my gosh, that's gross. No, we're gonna laugh.
Yeah. Might not even make it to home. Just turn around and have a little giggle.
Yeah. As long as the kids don't see you giggle, you're good. Like, you're in the clear. Have you ever encountered that? Well, not the whole kids moaning, unless.
No. Something kind of worse, but it was at nap time. We had what's called no nap club, but it wasn't until the second half of nap. So during the first half, they had to at least be on their cots resting. So we had one girl who was in no nap club and she very much was refusing to be quiet and lay on her cot at all. So we let her have her two baby dolls and we're like, you can quietly play with them. And the baby dolls were fighting with each other and we were just listening. You know, it wasn't anything, she wasn't being loud, but you could tell they were bickering. Mm-hmm. And then one of them called the other one the N-word. Yeah. Yeah, so we had to tell our boss, and our boss had to have that conversation. He was like, yeah, this is not a you conversation, this is a me conversation.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How did your boss handle that conversation?
We don't know everything that happened, but basically he messaged them and was like, hey, we need you to stop by the office. at pickup, and he told us that the parents were shocked, but also they didn't really seem too concerned.
Yeah, like, come on now.
Yeah, and this was a white family, which makes it even worse.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Needless
to say, they did take their child out of the school.
Oh, okay, because that solves the problem.
Yeah.
That I don't even know how to wrap my mind around that.
I was happy that I wasn't alone when it happened because I was like, there's no way I just heard that. And I looked at the other teacher and she's like, no, I heard that too. I was like, okay.
Again, parents, if you're listening, kids hear everything.
And they repeat everything.
Everything.
They're little parrot sponges.
Yes. Yes, they are. And it's a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah.
And teachers, when y'all are huddled in the hallways or at recess talking, thinking the kids aren't paying attention to you.
Oh, they are.
Oh, they are. They tell everything. But going back to pretend play and imagination play, what would you say would be your favorite imaginative play that you see kids do?
I'd have to say when they play house.
Yeah.
It's really cute.
It's funny like, when the little girls rope the boys into it.
Yes. And it's like you're getting a little look into what their life is at home.
Yes. Especially if there's like two very different parenting styles.
Yes.
It's funny, especially when they do rope the boys into it. And you see the little girls like yelling at the boys. Like, and the boys are like, calm down. It's okay. The baby's going to keep crying. It's okay. Like, what in the world is going on over here? Like,
yeah. One time they were playing babysitter.
Oh,
and I was the baby, and each of them took turns babysitting. And it was so interesting because it's like, you know, one of them was like, I'm going to turn Bluey on, and pretended to turn Bluey on the TV and goes, sit here. I'm going to go take a phone call. And I'm like, oh, I think you need a new babysitter.
Yep.
And then there's the kids that like clearly have a very hands-on babysitter and they're playing with you. And it was just fun to see.
No, that's cute. That's adorable. Yeah. I always like the animals.
Oh, that's fun too.
Especially the little girls, whether they're playing horses or cats, and they say no words.
No.
And only communicate in the animal sounds.
But they understand each other.
That's the freaky part, because they do understand each other. Whether they discussed it somewhere beforehand, but you just see all of a sudden these cats, meow, meow, meow. Like, I always like the animals because that's when it gets, because they're never all different animals.
No, there's usually not.
It's collectively one animal.
Mm-hmm.
Normally there's a little argument deciding what animal to be. And I'm like, can't we all just be different animals? No, we can't. Okay. Like, sorry, I didn't know.
No, that's not how the pretend play works.
Apparently not. There are apparently rules to pretend play, but.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I really enjoy it, and I do heavily encourage it in my house, and I recommend, you know, especially with those younger age, take the time, have the kids, you know, clean up the toys and play a pretend game all together.
Yeah.
And watch them, you know, really in a sense kind of disconnect from actual reality and step into their little world that they create through it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to learn a whole lot more about your students at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Okay. So on that note, I think we covered about everything. How about you?
I think so.
Yeah. At the end of the day, we have to let kids be kids.
I don't think that's going to be the first or last time I step on that soapbox.
Nope, absolutely not. That's our new tagline. I love it.
Let kids be kids.
So thank you for listening to this week's episode. Sorry we missed last week. Somebody was traveling, living her best dreams.
I was pretend playing in Texas.
But we'll catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.